Because we don't want our children to go to hell, do we?
No.
No. Well, if we leave them to raise themselves, where will they go? So it's our responsibility as parents to make sure that our kids follow the path that leads to heaven. Because there are two roads. Now, Jesus talks about the two roads. He says the narrow road, that's a difficult one. And few people find it. But that's the road that leads to life. Then he says there's a wide road, and everybody is there, but it leads to destruction. Now, we don't want our children to be on the wide road where everybody goes and do what everybody does. And they come with arguments, but everybody does it. Well, that's the road that leads to destruction. And we don't want them to be on that road. We want them to be on the narrow road that is difficult, but it leads to life. Amen.
Amen.
And we are the coaches. That was a good place to say amen.
Amen.
We are the coaches. We coach them. God tagged us with that responsibility, and we need to walk in that responsibility. I am responsible for my children. Last week you saw the chisels, and they're sharp. And you don't want to be in a church where the chisel is not sharp, right? Then you're not going to be molded right. And, you know, we're all on the potter's wheel here. And God wants to do something with us. Right? We're not into religion where we just go to church and sit and listen and say, well, I've been to church, that's fine. No. God has, we're in the workshop here. We're in the workshop. We're being changed here. Amen? It's not about attending church. It's about being molded and formed by God. That is what it's all about. Do we have agreement here? All right, we're going to talk about the kingdom today again. Kingdom of God is that kingdom, that wonderful kingdom, where there's the blessing of God, where there, you know, Jesus said to the disciples, go heal the sick and tell them the kingdom has come close to you. There's healing in the kingdom.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, if you want to be healed, I tell you what, press into the kingdom. You'll find it there. It's part of the kingdom lifestyle. He said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, the kingdom has come upon you. But that kingdom lives in you, and then that puts you into the kingdom. It's a little difficult to figure that out with your mind, but you know, this is spiritual truth. It's not a mental thing. You can't understand God with your mind. You have to take it by faith. And it's a kingdom that you cannot see, yet if you're in the kingdom, everybody will see it. Because the blessings will come flowing out of you. The kingdom is invisible, but its attributes are very visible. And so it's a wonderful thing. And we as children of God need to find ourselves in the kingdom of God. He's establishing a kingdom. And Jesus told us to pray, and he said, we ought to pray, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. That should be our desire, to see God's kingdom come. You know, we pray for healing, and we pray to have our needs met and our bills paid and all of that. What we really should pray for is for the kingdom to come. Because when the kingdom comes, oh boy, there's an abundance in the kingdom. You know, Jesus spoke about this. He said, you know, the people who don't have God, they seek after all those things. They have their bills paid and all their needs met, and that's what they live for. He says, but it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Can we increase the vision that we have and raise it from bills paid to kingdom? That will be different. And that is, it's the Father's good pleasure. It's there. And it is available. Well, how do we get it? We're going to talk about that this morning. Matthew chapter 11. If you want to really do a good Bible study, if you want to spend some time very productively, then go through the Gospels and mark every time you see the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God and see what it says about that. You will learn a lot. And you'll find out how much the Bible actually has to say about the kingdom of God. Matthew 11 and verse 11. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. Jesus is revealing here about the kingdom. Now, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. How do you get into the kingdom? You take it by force. It's not falling into your lap. It's not coming with casual Christian living. It's not coming. You have to take it by force. You have to go after it. You have to stir up that violent spirit inside of you and say, I will not be stopped. I am going to get it. I'm going to get it. See, there's always two ways. The one way to get the blessing is to work yourself to death. It will reward you. But the Bible also says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. That's kingdom lifestyle. That's the kingdom way of doing it. But you have to go after the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and those things will be added to you. Now, it's either be a lot of work, or it's going to be faith. Come on now. It's either be going to be very hard work, or it's going to be a life of faith that will do it for you. And so, here's how faith works. You have bills to be paid, but there's the kingdom that you have to seek first, which means the kingdom comes first. That true? Now, what are you going to seek first? It's not a trick question. I just gave you the answer. The kingdom. Well, there's a challenge there for us. I hope you can see that. I struggle with that. I don't know about you. But I think Jesus is throwing us a lifeline here, and he's hoping that we'll take it and go after it. And see that the blessing is in the kingdom. It's in the kingdom. Go after the kingdom and you'll have all these things. Now that doesn't mean everybody should become a full-time preacher. But have you ever noticed or have you ever thought about it? That the place where you earn your money is also your mission field. Yes. Amen. We have one amen here. That's your mission field. You seek the kingdom there. Then God will start honoring you by adding to you. Because you know God's dream is to see the kingdom come. That's God's dream. And I have found out long ago that if we work on God's dream, he'll work on ours. If we work on his dream, he'll work on yours. And while we think we're rich when we have a lot of money, God thinks he's rich when he has a lot of people. Souls that are saved. And if we go after those souls, what will God do? He will give you what you need. And you'll take care of that. And let me tell you, you'll take care of it better than we can. Well, I'm speaking to people of faith today. Right? Because this makes no sense to religious people. You have to be a faith person to grasp this. Otherwise, it's not going to help much here today. But let's read on. Verse 13, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. That's where it stopped, right? Until John. Why? Because now the kingdom has been announced. John started announcing the kingdom. That's how he started his ministry, is by preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A new day. A new day has come. And if you're willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, he's not talking about your physical ears. He's talking about your spiritual ears. He's talking to your spirit now. Jesus is talking to our spirit man now. There is something that we have to receive by listening in the spirit now. Right? Now, here comes the problem. Verse 16. But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned for you, and you did not lament. What does that mean? They did not respond. They said they're listening, but they didn't respond. And so Jesus came and announcing the kingdom, and he says, the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. They just sat there listening. No response. No response. Has anything changed from that time till today? No. The kingdom is still there. Kingdom is still coming. What is missing is what? The violence. That violent response to say, that is for me. I'm going to take it. I'm going to fight for it. This is it. This is it. I'm going after it. That is what's missing. Now look at verse 18. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came, eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, or a wine drinker, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. What does that mean? They listen to all of it, and all they do about it is criticizing. It doesn't matter how you come, they'll find something to criticize you. Instead of responding to the message, they criticize the messenger. And they miss the message because they focus on the messenger instead of the message. And they begin to criticize, and that's all they do. And boy, I'm telling you, we have well-trained, well-educated critics today. They know it all. They come with information and education and eloquence. And they can criticize everybody. I mean, nobody's perfect. But it's not about the messenger, it's about the message. They missed the message because they were focusing on the messenger. They missed the spiritual because they focused on the visible, the natural thing. And that is the problem that we have. You know, to see, to hear things that you can only hear in the Spirit. There are some things that you cannot hear in the natural. There's spiritual things. There's some things that you'll never. The kingdom is one of them. Jesus said, unless you're born from above, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You can't see it. How do you see the kingdom of heaven? With spiritual eyes. Because it's a spiritual thing. And so here is our stumbling block. We need to get past the point where we fail to respond. If we can get past that point, we'll break through. If we can get ourselves to respond to the message of the kingdom, our lives will be radically different. But we must respond. And you can only respond when you're a person of faith. Now you can look around and say, well, I don't think this is working, and I don't think that works, and so, and enter into what everybody else is entering into. Or you can say, you know what, there's something here, and I'm going to pursue it. There's something here. God is trying to get something through to me, and I'm going after it. I'm going to open my spiritual ears, and I'm going to open my spiritual eyes. There's something precious that God wants to give me. And I want to go after it. Okay, let's go to Luke 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse 15. Luke 14 and verse 15. Luke 14, verse 15. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Blessed is he. He's talking about, Jesus is going to talk about the kingdom. If you read that passage in Matthew, you'll see the parable that he's going to tell begins with, the kingdom of God is like. He's talking about the kingdom here. Then he said to him, verse 16, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. Who's speaking up that the kingdom is ready? It's ready. Kingdom is ready now. But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. Has anything changed from that time to now? No. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Well, that's a valid excuse, isn't it? But he's missing out on the meal here. that's a good excuse. If you want to be a reasonable person, and that's fine, but you're missing out on the banquet. Choices have consequences. Verse 19, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Well, that's a good excuse too. But you're missing the banquet. I'm telling you, every decision we make has consequences. Even the valid ones have consequences when it comes to the kingdom. I begin to see some. We'll get to that. I don't want to run away from myself here. Verse 21, so that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. How many of us know that there's always room? For every one of us. There's always room. God is inclusive. He includes everybody. Verse 23, then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. That word compel has been with me all week. A strong word. Compel them. You know, it's a very strong word, and especially I believe here in the West where we live, we don't like that word at all. We like the freedom of choice. Yeah. Don't put pressure on me. Don't put pressure on me. Either Jesus knows what is waiting if you don't respond at the end of the road, or he's a rough and a hard taskmaster. It's either this or that. I believe the reason why he wants to compel people to come in is because he wants to save them from a destructive end. Compel them. Force them. Force them to come in. Don't let them go to hell. Force them. They'll thank you for it. Now, I know exactly that this is a rough word to talk about. We're good diplomats here, and we're always politically correct. But there's something at the end that we need to watch out for. Because being kind and being nice and all of that, and we want to be all of that, is not going to save the ones that need to be saved. He says, compel them. Compel them. How do we feel about that word this morning? Compel them. I know why he says that they needed to be compelled. It's because he's gracious. That's why. He's a loving master. That's why. He's a loving master. He doesn't want them to miss the banquet and end up in destruction. Compel them. Now, I don't know if you begin to see the thread here this morning, but there's a lot of pressure when it comes to entering the kingdom. You know, you have to be violent and you have to take it by force. That's a lot of pressure. He says, compel them. Compel them. Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. See, that's God's dream, that his house may be filled. Okay, now let's move on to Matthew chapter 13. We go back to Matthew chapter 13. And verse 44. Matthew 13, verse 44. Everybody says, I'm a violent person. Everybody says, I'm a compeller. I compel people to come into the kingdom. All right, Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Which, you see, it's hidden. It's always hidden. But it's hidden for us, not from us. Which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells some of what he has. All that he has, and buys that field. How about that one? The kingdom, well, that treasure is now has now become more precious and valuable than everything else he had combined. Right? He's selling everything he has so that he can get his hands on that treasure. Everything he has equals that treasure, or is not even as much, because he says the treasure is more valuable. I'm selling everything I have to get that treasure. Says, Jesus said, that is how the kingdom is. That is what the kingdom is like. If you sell everything you have to get your hands on that treasure, which means the treasure is more precious than everything else combined. Right? We good reasoning here? Now, the value of your house is what you paid for it. And sometimes you go looking at houses and you ask the agent, what's the price of this house? What's the value of this house? He'll probably tell you, well, it's what you're willing to pay for it. If you really, 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 really want that house, you'll get the money to buy it. You'll sell everything you have to get the money to buy that house because you want that house. And that is what the kingdom is like. You sell everything you have. You sell everything you have to get your hands on that treasure. Which, this is just a different way of saying, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. It's the most precious thing that you can ever own, is to have the kingdom inside of you. That's the most precious thing. And if it's not the most precious thing, all these excuses we just read about will be more valuable and valid. Oh no, it's better to go to this piece of ground that I bought. The banquet's not that important. I'll rather go. See, now I am validating my values here. I have my value system, and God has His value system, and they're not the same. And I choose to go by my value system and what is valuable to me. Come on now. I need some help now. You saw that chisel is pretty sharp. It's cutting and it hurts. We struggle with these issues. But I believe God wants to show us something. There's a point of breakthrough. There's a point of breakthrough, and there's a lot of resistance before you break through. And he's encouraging us to go through that resistance so that we can break through. He needs us to break through into His kingdom. He wants us to have the abundance of the kingdom. He wants us to have the power of the kingdom and the authority of the kingdom. He needs us to break in there. But the price is high. But that doesn't matter. He still wants us to do it. Verse 45. Again. I mean, you know, he's just giving us line upon line here. Repeating things. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The kingdom is the pearl of great price. The kingdom. I thought this morning about a story I heard many years ago on a tape by Yongki Cho. Who knows who he is? He has the biggest church, I think about 750,000 people in Korea. And he's telling a story of this woman who had some sickness. I forget what sickness it was. And she came and asked to be prayed for. And so she came several times and they prayed for her and they anointed her and taught her to raise her faith. And still she could not get her healing. And then he said, I'll tell you what you can do. Go to Prayer Mountain. Now, I don't know what Prayer Mountain looks like. I picture it, the way he tells it. Like in the mountain, they have like little caves with a door. And he says, you go in there and pray and don't come out before you're healed. All right. What is that? That is pressing in. Everything else is now less important. Everything else is less important now. There's something very important that now needs to happen, and I'm going to get it, and I'm going to pay the price for it. This is the pearl of great price now. All right. Well, he says she disappeared for a while and came back healed. You can win. You can win. You know what I found out? I'll be honest with you today. Maybe I should have told you this a long time ago. Most people, not all people, but most, that I have helped in life have either dropped out or turned against me. And I'm talking about big-time help. I'm not talking about doing, little things. I'm talking big things here. I have saved people from a certain death. Certain death. I saved them by working hard. And after 1 month, they turned against us. Do you know why? I paid the price, not them. I paid the price. I scraped people, so to speak, off the pavement who were broken and destroyed and helped them up, encouraged them, spent hours on them just for them to turn their back on me. You know why? I'm the one that paid the price. I knew what was possible, but they were not willing to pay the price. See, that's the problem. You cannot help people who don't want to help themselves and pay the price. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. Somebody came to me just the other day. It's not one of our people. That person's life unbelievably messed up. You don't know where to begin. And I know I can help that person. I know that. I say to him, listen, by the end of this year, if you stick to me and you're faithful, your whole life will be different. Everything will be different. Your problems also, I'll get you out, every one of them. But I'm running on your energy this time. Not mine. I'm not calling you. You come. Well, he came 3 times and then stopped. If you are not willing to press in and pay that price, you'll come short. It's hard, but it's true. And I'm willing, and I'm very willing to help people. That compassion just rises up inside of me. I'm always there to help people. But I found out that by helping them, I'm not really helping them. We had a friend who was with us in Bible school, a young couple, and they suffered financially. Boy, they went through hardship unbelievably, man. And so, you know, we came alongside them and we helped them month after month. We gave them money and things to help them. And one day the Lord said to me, will you get out of the way? Because I want to teach them a few things. Will you get out of my way, please? See, if we're not willing to press in, we will not see it. We will continue to complain about things that are supposed to happen, but they don't happen. Well, the pastor prayed for me and nothing happened. Pastor probably doesn't have faith. I'll get somebody else to pray over me. Well, you can go around the world and have people pray for you. But if you don't press in into the kingdom where those things that you need are available in abundance, you'll have a rough time. You better get a miracle. And miracles happen. Thank God for that. But there's just not enough of them. God said, you live by faith. And if God said, you live by faith, guess what you need to do? You live by faith. Come on, we need to give our heads a good shake and say, I need to get into the kingdom. I need to press in. I need to get in there. I need to get in there. I'm tired of this. You know, working and slaving on and working hard and missing out on the good things of life. I need to get in the kingdom. I need that blessing to come upon me. Luke 16. This is our last one. Somebody says, thank God, that's the end of it. Luke 16. My one uncle was a missionary for many years, and he used to travel to the U.S. a lot. And one year he came back with a story that I always think about. He said he was at a church in the States and with a pastor, and somebody called from his congregation and said, my son got into a place where they stored their pesticides and stuff that are dangerous, things that are dangerous. And he said, and he drank some pesticide. What do I do? The pastor said, there are two things that you can do. Either you can believe that Jesus said, if you drink anything deadly, it will not harm you. In which case you do nothing, or you get to the hospital as fast as you can. Come on now. It's right, isn't it? Either what Jesus said is true, or it isn't. You know, we're not in religion here, so we have to see things the way Jesus meant them to be seen. We're not here to spin it in a way to make it, oh, well, you know, that's really what it means. Not what you read there, it really means this. No, I think God meant what he said. And he said what he meant. Luke 16 and verse 14. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money. Now, isn't that interesting? They were lovers of money. Also heard these things. What did they hear? Well, they heard there in verse 13 that you cannot serve two masters. And they didn't like that. Heard these things and they derided him. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Two value systems. Two value systems. Now look at verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Since that time, the kingdom has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. There's a lot of pressing that needs to happen. There's a lot of compelling that needs to be done. There's a lot of violence that will take it by force if we want to get in there. Hey, you know, I believe salvation is free, but everything else you pay for. Ticket to heaven is free, but everything else you pay for. Come on now. I believe God is looking for people who want to press in. I believe God is looking for people who want to press in. Say, I'm going to press in. Because I need to get that kingdom operating in me. I need to get the kingdom operating through me. I need the blessing of the kingdom to come upon me. I need the kingdom to come in my life. I need the kingdom. Let me tell you, we don't need our bills to be paid. We need the kingdom. That's what we need. That is what we need. What we need is the kingdom to come in our hearts. But we need to press in. We need to press in. You know, we read that everyone is welcome. The sick and the lame and the maimed and everybody who is despised and rejected, there's room in the kingdom. Everybody qualified. The least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. It's an awesome thing. It is an awesome thing. It is worthwhile selling everything you have and press into the kingdom. We don't have to beg God for blessings. He wants to give you the kingdom. It's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's His good pleasure. You don't have to beg Him. That is what He wants. That is what He wants. He wants to give us the kingdom. Quickly, last one. This is now the last one. Never believe a preacher when he says it's the last one. Luke chapter 12. Let's read from verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, do we have disciples in this house? Yes. Then he said to us, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then who are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? See, God has a desire for you to look good. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You don't have to beg him. It's his good pleasure. That's what he wants. Why will Jesus say, pray, let your kingdom come, if he's not going to answer it? If it's not his will. Why will he tell you to pray for the kingdom to come if it's not his will to give you the kingdom? Well, he's telling you to pray for it because he wants to give it to us. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We're sons and daughters of the Most High. We're privileged people. We're privileged people. We just need our heads to know that. We're privileged people. And God wants to bless us with good things. Because God is waiting for us. We are not living in defeat here. We're living in victory and in glory. And I'm telling you, the kingdom is coming. The question is, will we be part of it? And we can if we are willing to press in and buy that pearl of great price and say, I'm going to go for it. Let's all stand.